At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
At Great Wolf Lodge, there's adventure for the whole family. You and your pack can splash away in the indoor water park, where it's always 84 degrees. There's a massive wave pool, a lazy river, and tons of water slides for your pack to enjoy together. And the fun doesn't stop there. Get ready to explore and play at adventure-packed attractions from Magi Quest, a live-action game that takes place throughout the lodge to the Northern Lights Arcade. There's also a bunch of great dining options and complimentary daily events, like nightly dance parties, all under one roof. And the best part? With 22 lodges across the country, you're always only a short drive away from adventure. So bring your pack together at a lodge near you. Book your stay today at greatwolf.com and strengthen the pack.
Coming up here in about 60 minutes, we're going to get to Get a Grip, as we always do, at 9 o'clock. We've been talking a lot on the LeBron front to start off the show, but we have some Browns conversation coming down the way here in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll get to plenty of that. But before we get to any of it, we do have to get to the most pressing thing said by our station's guests today. Let's go ahead and do it with the station buzz. All right, let's kick things off, and we do it with Bill Ryder, 97.1 The Fan, our sister station out in L.A. on afternoon drive today, and he detailed where he thinks LeBron could enhance his legacy most this offseason.
I think Cleveland's the thing that is the most of an enhancement to his legacy, because you win with Giannis, who's won, you win with Spo, who's got a bunch, yeah, you're going to get credit, but they've done before. Obviously, if you go to the Warriors, you're going to get treated a little bit like Kevin Durant did by LeBron haters. I think in Cleveland, it is very clear that the sole champion on that team, the guy that brought a championship caliber excellence, if it were to go the right way for the Cavs, would be LeBron James. So I think it's making the finals with anybody is an enhancement, and I think the biggest enhancement is doing that or even winning with the Cavs in Cleveland.
I actually think it's really interesting, because I think the Cavs are probably the most likely one that enhance your legacy. The 76ers one probably enhances your legacy pretty heavily too, does it not? Like, I mean, Cleveland's a big one. Obviously, you come back, you do it a second time at home. You get James Harden his first title. You get, I mean, everybody in the starting lineup their first title. But obviously, James Harden and Donovan being the two big ones. But you go to Philly, the only person who's really won a title out there is Jaylen Brown. He's a Finals MVP. But the combination of you and Jaylen Brown winning a title for a team that hasn't won one since, what, like the 70s? Going through and doing it, and you get Joel Embiid to a title. Philly could finally trust the process. Tyrese Maxey gets one very early. VJ Edgecombe gets one very early. Like, you're helping young players develop on top of it. I don't know that it's actually the one that enhances your legacy the most, but I think it's the one that has the safest route to enhance your legacy, because not winning a title in Cleveland a second time, I don't think is ever going to be viewed as a negative. Joining Philly, and if you get a healthy Joel Embiid and don't win a title, that's going to be everybody turning around and being like, okay, what the hell? Like, what happened? Like, wait, so you had a healthy Joel Embiid, Jaylen Brown, Tyrese Maxey, and VJ Edgecombe playing for like $10 million, and you guys couldn't find a way? There was no possible way you could win a title, especially if you don't even get to the finals. You got stopped in the East by who? The New York Knicks? Jalen Brunson has that much of a chokehold on the East right now? Or the Indiana Pacers? You couldn't get past Tyrese Halliburton? Like, I think that would be a really tough pitch of like, okay, you brought together all of these players and still couldn't get to, even if it's the Thunder or the Spurs, you wouldn't be able to take them down. I think people will view that as a negative. You never win one. Even if you played 2 years and didn't win one in Philly, it'd be like, okay, how does that happen? I do still think there's an element of, you come to the Cavs, how do you not win a title? Like, that is a very loaded starting five, obviously. But there's also the aspect of, well, maybe LeBron didn't care as much about winning the title. It was about LeBron coming home. It was about getting him there. It was about ending his career in a storybook kind of way. And I think it'll be much more viewed as, even if it's 2 years, a proper retirement tour, more than it is, I mean, just about anything else, or the kind of conversations that'll be in Philly. I also just, are we really looking at this like winning a title? If you won a title in Miami, I think it'd enhance your legacy pretty far too. Like, yeah, you've done it, but the team you did it with, sure, Bam's a good player. Giannis is obviously incredible. You did it with just about anybody else. Like, it would still be really impressive. Winning one with the Warriors, yeah, you get a little Kevin Durant treatment, but guys, KD joined the Warriors when it was prime Steph, prime Klay, prime Draymond. If LeBron at 42 years old also walked into the retirement home and you went, you know what, we're coming out of retirement, the boys are back, it would still be pretty impressive and I think a legacy builder. Again, enhance it the most. Yeah, Cleveland's got a really good pitch. I think Philly's got a really good pitch. I don't know that Philly's got you beat, but I think it's up for debate. Let's go to Michelle Beadle, FanDuel TV, also on with Afternoon Drive today. And she ruled one team out and a role that one specific Draymond Green could be playing.
My gut, and I think that's where all of us are now, we're just kind of going off our gut and our visuals. I just don't see that happening. I mean, look, so much has changed in the last 2 to 3 weeks. My brain hasn't processed where everybody has ended up so far. So maybe that appeals to him in a way that, this could be something too. We obviously know he loves living there. Everyone loves going to play in Miami just because. But I just feel like it's Cleveland or Golden State. I think Draymond, well, believe it or not, I think he's a part of this. Like, he's a part of this equation. And unless Miami's recruiting him too, which maybe they are, I think it's one or the other. Cleveland, Golden State.
Very odd, by the way. Like, is that nobody else also very confused by the path that Draymond has now played into this? Like, listen, maybe it's just nothing, and at the end of the day, he's just going to go back and sign with Golden State on a reduced contract, and that's going to be what it was. But now that we're all into speculation of, like, Draymond's just going with LeBron, nobody would have said that at the end of the year. It would have been like, oh, of course Draymond's going to go try to play with LeBron at the end of his career. It's like, guys, Draymond's going to opt into his $27 million contract that he doesn't deserve whatsoever, and he's just going to sit there on a pile of cash and be happy. I don't know how we got to this point. Also, are they just closer friends than I've ever realized? Like, I know they're friends, but all of a sudden it's like, I mean, they're Bert and Ernie.
Draymond signed with Clutch.
I mean, I guess, but I don't see Darius Garland being like, hey, man, I'm over here too. Come on, come play out. You can stay in L.A. Come play with the Clippers. This is all good.
There's an age difference there. He's what, there like is. 16 years younger than LeBron?
Something like that, yeah. I mean,
they don't like the same things.
I don't know. Clutch has got to represent like 19 other players. I mean, obviously Anthony Davis is one of them. And we know Anthony Davis, they were basically trying to pair him up in Golden State. Now it doesn't seem like that's going to happen, but we knew that was trying to happen. I mean, is that all it takes? Is that what Clutch is? It's just LeBron recruiting people over to be like, hey, we're friends. Come sign over here. Let Rich Paul be your agent, or we're just going to be friends once he is. Like, kind of feels like that's where it's going then at that point. But just because you have the same agent or the same agency representing you doesn't mean you're the best of friends either. Like, I'm not going and taking Puerto Rico golf trips just because, I mean, I'm not going to do that with anybody on the station. Right? And I'm not saying I wouldn't do it with any individual person. I'm just saying I'm not picking a name out of a hat in the station and be like, we work for the same company. Of course we'll go to Puerto Rico and golf. Like, no, that's weird. We're not that close.
Who are you going to Puerto Rico with, Jake?
Who'd I golf with in Puerto Rico? I'd golf with Anthony. I'd golf with Jax.
You put yourself in this position.
Yeah. I mean, there's people. Like, Jax and Anthony, for sure. I mean, I'd go out there. Michael, if you really wanted to go golf in Puerto Rico, we can go golf in Puerto Rico. I don't see you as much of a golfer. I'm not much of a golfer, so I probably wouldn't want to spend the money to golf in Puerto Rico. But
I want to become more of a golfer, but I have the good build for it. That's what I've been told.
I do not. I have the John Daly build. So not doing me any favors there. I mean, long arms is about where it kicks off. That's about where it starts and where it ends for my golf build. But there's people here I would golf with. Yeah, but it's just like, it's not anybody. You couldn't just pick somebody out of hat. I'm like, we're not going to do that one. We're not going to play the game with people I wouldn't go on a golf trip with. But, like, I'm just not going to do it just because we're represented by the same company. We're represented by the same agency. Like, they're clearly friends. I just missed that part. I think ultimately he probably does end up in Golden State and just goes back to playing there. I think this is maybe just a lot of talk. But it is interesting how much this is now led on. I don't know if that's just pure speculation or, I mean, I think it clearly is. But it does feel like there's a little something to it that still Draymond sitting there, and now he's hanging out with LeBron, and I don't know that it's strictly a pitch to Golden State. All right, Danny Green, Odyssey NBA insider, obviously former player on with Baskin and Phelps today, and took a crack at where LeBron would be at the Cavs starting lineup and maybe what changes would be made.
Yeah, I think he'd absolutely play the four spot, and then whoever is in that spot would come off the bench or slide down. I do think that there will be a move needed to be made, a trade or so, to create some cap space, or also to create that type of playing time for you. You don't want to have those type of talented guys come off your bench or have to play limited minutes. I'd imagine a move would have to be made, and he would definitely start at the four spot. I don't see LeBron James come off the bench or anybody, even though he's 41, about to be 42.
Well, LeBron's obviously not coming off the bench. I mean, there's no chance that that's ever happening. LeBron would never. If LeBron got to a point in his career where, like, hey, LeBron, why don't you just be our sixth man? LeBron would be like, you know what? That's official. Time to hang it up. Yep. Guys, actually, middle of this game, I'm going to pull. Who was that? Who's the Colts safety who retired in the middle of a game? Why can I not
think? Vontae Davis.
Yes, Vontae Davis retired in the middle of a game. He's going to pull Vontae Davis and just be like, no, I'm good. Like, if you ask me to come off the bench, I'm done. I also don't know that I agree with starting at the four. Mostly in a Cavs scenario of starting at the four. Like, you trade Jared Allen, yeah, it's probably likely that he would be. I mean, we've obviously given our opinions on that. I don't think they should trade Jared. I don't think it makes sense to. But even in an idea where, like, you bring Draymond in, no, Draymond, get your ass to the bench, because we can't play defense right now as it is. Bring Draymond into the mix. Hey, listen, I mean, he's, again, a good defender, but at this point in his career, I mean, you're going to play the Portland Trailblazers and be trailing behind them just because Scoot Henderson's going to run circles around everybody on the court not named Evan Mobley. That can't happen. That's not an acceptable decision to be made. So I don't know who really is sliding down in this situation. Like, it'd be a big step up for a guy like Jalen Tyson to play the three. And I still don't think you want to take a max contract player like Evan, or even a guy that's making near $30 million like Jared Allen, and just be like, yeah, go enjoy your time on the bench, man. Like, really be that strong spark plug for us. I don't think that makes a ton of sense either. Like, those seem like guys who are going to be in the starting lineup. All right, last one here. Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com, on with the morning show today, and detailing one of your quarterbacks, and it's not Deshaun, back in town.
I also heard, and once again, I've been out of town, so I'm not 100% sure, but I think he now is also in Cleveland, or was, you know, came back here and started, you know, working out here a little bit too. And I think Deshaun might still be here. So they're not really taking their break in terms of just being away from here and maybe unplugging from the facility a little bit. You know, they're both still working at this. They understand what's at stake. They know what they each have to do. And I think it's really going to be quite a battle.
I mean, I guess, like, good for both Shador and Deshaun. I like the idea that they're not just taking this as a massive long time off to, like, go sit back and relax. Like, you are in the middle of a quarterback competition. I mean, I can guarantee you, if it was like, well, Jake, I mean, obviously station's going to have some down period, but you're also in a competition for your job. I wouldn't be like, oh, yes, a vacation. I'd be like, no, how do I get into work? I'll work any shift you need me to. Let me go ahead and try and prove that one to you that I should still be here. Yeah, of course. I think anybody in the right mind would. So the guys should be here. They shouldn't be taking a break. I'd be really concerned if either of them was just taking a full time off. But again, so much of this just feels like it's for show. Like, and I'm not saying on Shador's part or Deshaun's part individually, but just say the act of, I got time off and I decided to come work in the building. Like, okay. I mean, you got a weight room and everything else. It makes sense for you to be here. You have free use to it. Why wouldn't you use it? But at the same time, I feel like to get back in the building and show everybody that I'm working in front of you is also just a really big fluff up. Everybody get excited because I'm really committed to this thing. Let me show you how committed I am. All right, that'll do it for the station buzz. When we come on back here in about 5 minutes, we got an update, potential update, on Deshaun and his health from Mary Kay as well. We're going to get into that coming up here in 5 minutes on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime. Been talking a lot of LeBron. We're going to take a short break from that. We'll get back to it here in just a little bit, though. But I did want to take a little time to let's talk a little Browns here, because we did get we talked about a little Deshaun news yesterday. We are not talking cap relief today. And thank God we are not talking cap relief today. I'm over that story. We're done. Emily, you want the honesty? You want the truth? Yeah, we're done with the story on, congratulations, $25 million. And none of us know anything about it. Is it real? Is it not? Let's just play that game. But we got other Browns and Deshaun Watson information coming from today, and it feels really weird that it took this long for anybody to bring it up whatsoever. But Mary Kay Cabot on the Orange and Brown Talk podcast that with Cleveland.com, Dan Lobby, our good friend Lance over there every once in a while, talking about a Deshaun Watson injury that maybe popped up, and showed a little bit of lingering while they were out at OTAs, and it wasn't exactly the Achilles.
I think what Deshaun needs to do now is I think he needs to get some proper rest over the break, because I thought his arm seemed to tail off a little. Maybe he got the slightest bit of fatigue in his surgically repaired shoulder. It hasn't had this much work, I don't think, since before the surgery. So I think he needs to get a little bit of rest in there.
Which is a really interesting thing to actually have brought up, and I think a legitimate reason to be a little bit concerned about Deshaun. Now, again, it is worth noting Mary Kay brought this up on, July 9th, July 8th, whatever day that way. I think it might have been yesterday this was brought up, last night, and
when it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on Auto Trader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's key.
...able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on Auto Trader. Really?
At Great Wolf Lodge, there's adventure for the whole family. You and your pack can splash away in the indoor water park, where it's always 84 degrees. There's a massive wave pool, a lazy river, and tons of water slides for your pack to enjoy together. And the fun doesn't stop there. Get ready to explore and play at adventure-packed attractions from Magi Quest, a live-action game that takes place throughout the lodge to the Northern Lights Arcade. There's also a bunch of great dining options and complimentary daily events, like nightly dance parties, all under one roof. And the best part? With 22 lodges across the country, you're always only a short drive away from adventure. So bring your pack together at a lodge near you. Book your stay today at greatwolf.com and strengthen the pack.
Denim starts with Abercrombie, and the people who wear it make it iconic. Their high-rise wide-leg jean is such a closet staple, while their ultra-loose low-rise is the go-to for nights out. And who could forget the high-rise 90s relaxed? It's the jean for every day. Complete the look with a bra-free top and you're set. Every pair comes in both classic fit and the viral curve love fit, with additional room through the hip and thigh to eliminate waist gap. It's truly denim made iconic. Shop Abercrombie Denim and more in the app, online, and in stores.
It's worth noting that nobody else has pointed this out. Right. So, I mean, listen, I'm not saying it's an incorrect observation by Mary Kay, but it clearly was not a big enough thing where it's not like a pitcher in baseball where, hey, he's usually topping out at 100 and all of a sudden he's topping out at 93. Right. It's that clear to the eye where it's like, no, he's clearly lost something. I don't know that Mary Kay's wrong either, though. And if she's in the right here and this is a correct observation that she's making, I would say a legitimate cause for concern when we talk about Deshaun, because there's one part of that where it feels like Mary Kay, was in the wrong on it at least a little bit, right? She said that Deshaun's shoulder hasn't gotten this much work since the injury. Well, that's not true. Deshaun had the shoulder injury, came back, went through the offseason program, and then played 7 games just 2 years ago. I would hope that would be more of a toll on your shoulder than, throwing around in OTAs with no pads on. So if shoulder fatigue is starting to pile up, and let's not forget what we talked about when there was the fractured glenoid in the first place, it is not a just odd injury necessarily in general, but it's an odd injury for a football player and an odd injury for a quarterback. Right? We see it from time to time in baseball pitchers, and even then I wouldn't call it
you know, a very common injury. But it's a injury with baseball pitchers that have been known to take a long time to heal from, sometimes leave lasting effects. And it's a different throwing motion with the football, so it feels like nobody really knows what the lasting impact of it is. But if you can't get through OTAs without your shoulder showing a little bit of fatigue, I don't know how you're going to get through training camp without your shoulder tailing off. I don't know how you're going to get through the regular season without your shoulder tailing off and just not being the same thing. You're definitely not getting through 17 games without your shoulder just being cooked. So I think this is a legitimate thing to be brought up and a legitimate thing to be worried about. If we are talking about fatigue with Deshaun's shoulder, we are talking about, I mean, somebody that is on the borderline of unplayable. Again, this was not a grueling period. This was not the Browns going for 6 hours of work every single day. This was not getting hit and slammed into the ground after, you know, by an opposing defender. You cannot be having a sore shoulder. And listen, like, Deshaun hasn't done a ton of throwing. Obviously, he's had a ton of time off with the, you know, double ruptured Achilles. He didn't play all of last year. He didn't play at the back end of 2 years ago. So, like, I don't think it's crazy that it just naturally your shoulder would be a bit fatigued after being, you know, worked and worked and worked during this time. So, and I think this is ultimately maybe where it falls. It's just one of those lines where you have to walk it very cautiously, because if it's normal fatigue and LeBron, it shows you how much talk we've been doing about that recently. But Deshaun's just sitting there and, yeah, my shoulder got tired. I haven't thrown in a while. I mean, yeah, pitchers in baseball, their arm hurts from time. I'm sure if you go ask Patrick Mahomes, is your shoulder ever hurt? Have you ever lost a little something as you're going through practice? He'd probably be like, yeah, it happens from time to time. Everybody go, like, you might just be working through. Deshaun might have woke up in the morning with a knot in his shoulder and it just didn't feel right. Like, it could be something as simple as that. And at the end of training camp, it was just like, shoulder's not quite feeling 100%. I'm going to take it easy these days. And it wouldn't be the first time that the Browns are doing something or something is going on with the players that we're just not privy to and the reporters aren't privy to. I mean, earlier this training camp, we were like, quarterbacks are holding onto the ball for a long time. And it was like, they're doing scramble drills. Like, they're intentionally holding onto the ball for like 6 seconds before they do anything. It's like, that's nice information to know. That definitely changes the way that you're viewing practice. If you would have known, Deshaun slept on his shoulder the wrong way and it just didn't feel right when he was waking up this morning, but it's just sore. That's fine. But if it's, Deshaun's shoulders, his shoulder hurts. It is the injury repaired shoulder. He just doesn't feel like he has the same feeling, doesn't have the same control over his shoulder. Again, that is a much different conversation. But I think this is the awakening of a lot of our fears, which is that not only can you not trust Deshaun to stay healthy in general, just because he has any, he's played 19 games here over 4 years. You can't trust the health. You don't trust him to get through 17 games. If he's the week one starter, I wouldn't bank on the fact that he's going to be the week 18 starter. But you also have this idea that, I don't know, is Deshaun fully recovered from either of the injuries that he's gone through? I certainly can't sit here and tell you that the Achilles injury is perfectly fine. I don't know for a fact that Deshaun is fully recovered from tearing his Achilles twice. I don't think anybody knows that fact. He might look good on his legs. That's great. This is what we've seen so far out of Deshaun on the Achilles is like Nick Chubb hurts his knee and then he's early on the recovery and he's squatting 500 pounds. It's like, yeah, because squatting is a different motion than cutting and doing a million different things and running in an NFL game and going for 140 yards. It's a different game. It's different than a full 250-60-pound human being charging at you full speed and launching into your knees. It's a different game. So I can't sit here and tell you the Achilles is healthy. And I think based on what we've seen, I can't sit here and tell you the shoulder is healthy. What have we seen from Deshaun that shows me the shoulder is 100% fine and there's no lasting impact that has happened over the rest of his career and what's going to pop up for the rest of his career that was caused by that shoulder injury? The last time we saw Deshaun out on the field, things didn't look good. Like 2024, did not throw for 200 yards in a game, right? In most of the games that he ended up playing, did not have a great completion percentage. It was 63% throughout the year. I'd say it's somewhere near average, but we saw plenty of games where I had a game against Dallas to open the year where he completed 53% of his passes through two picks. We saw a very mediocre Vegas game where he completed a lot of his passes, but it just wasn't for a lot. It was, about 5 yards an attempt, 5 yards of completion. It was bad. So there's not a ton to work off of. There's no reason for me to currently sit here and be confident in anything about Deshaun's health. So many times when we get into these conversations, I feel like it continues to stack up and stack up and stack up of all of the reasons on why you would start, you know, Shador. There is interest. I mean, I'm interested to see how healthy Deshaun is, but I'm not so interested to see that to be like, okay, let's see, A, risk another injury for Deshaun, because at the end of the day, that's a human being. I don't need the guy tearing his Achilles a third time. That's just not something I'm going to wish on anybody on this planet. That's grueling. Your body is your livelihood. I'm not going to wish that on you. I also don't wish to see him play the game. Why do I need to figure that out? Again, there is a personal interest for me to be like, I do wonder if he still has it, but I'd be very happy figuring out that interest if it were to occur next year as a part of, I don't know, the Miami Dolphins or something. Right? Like, go ahead and figure out if Deshaun had something in the tank there. Even if there was something left, even if you were 100% healthy, it's where this entire battle is, in the Brown situation, slated for Shador to win. A logic would tell you this should be Shador. I have to worry about injury concerns. I'm dealing with a quarterback who's 31 years old, who can't get past the fifth round pick that you had from a year ago. And I'm supposed to count on that shoulder being so healthy that he's going to return and back to form as a top five quarterback in the NFL. I just don't know what the appeal at this point is. And again, if Mary Kay's right and there is fatigue in the shoulder, I'm going to imagine that's going to play itself out later into the year. We've dealt with quarterbacks with shoulder injuries. We actually got Deshaun because we were dealing with a quarterback with a shoulder injury. I don't need to play that game again. I don't need to be put into a spot where I'm trying to decipher, hey, is Deshaun just really bad? Or is the shoulder playing something into it? And I'd be much more comfortable just being like, it doesn't matter. He's not playing well enough and he's not going to be here next year. Time to move on. Obviously, a much different conversation when it was happening with Baker. But I don't need that type of conversation. I don't need to have that type of worry and that type of concern, especially if Deshaun gets off to a hot start and then starts to tail off. If the shoulder is going to be a reason why, wouldn't you again rather just put yourself in a position to figure out what you have in Shador? This is eerily similar, and we've made several comparisons to the Cavs and the Browns already today, but it feels eerily similar to a Darius Garland injury and the reason why he's gone. It's like, even the Cavs, and we saw Kobe Altman admit, I don't think Darius is a bad player. It's not like I'm sitting here being like, we can't win with Darius Garland, get him off my team, which maybe was a little part of the reason, but not the one Kobe's going to tell you. But it was, hey, I don't know that that toe's ever going to be healthy. And that guy's on a really big contract, and that's just something that we can't take the risk on. Okay, well, Deshaun's on a really big contract. I don't know that the shoulder's ever going to be healthy, and I already know it's not a risk that I want to take. He's just sitting here and playing him. So why would I do anything else other than just go see what I have outside of it? Again, it's not supposed to be a plea for Shador to start segment. That's not what I'm trying to make this out to be. But I think so much of this does come down to health. I do have to bank on the idea that whoever I'm starting, if they are going to be the best version of themselves, and for Todd Monken, this is going to be what quarterback gives me the best chance to win, part of that's going to be what guy can I actually trust to be healthy and make that decision, right? And get me to the spot where I need to be. And if they're that close, I'm going with the guy who I can trust to be healthy. I'm going with the guy that, hey, if he wins me 8 games, I don't have to worry about his arm or his leg falling off and not having that guy anymore and having to turn to the backup. It's just not a scenario I want to find myself in. 216-474-0092. Should Deshaun's shoulder concern mean anything for the Browns? Should it be a message to not start Deshaun? Is that an extra one in the books? Plus, when we come on back here, we will get back to even more LeBron talking. What I think are ridiculously high expectations if he does make his return to Cleveland or basically anywhere he goes. It's going to happen right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Get a grip coming up here in about 18 minutes, but we're asking right now, 216-474-0092, should Deshaun's shoulder and the concerns that Mary Kay brought up actually mean anything to the Browns? Because again, I think you have two very clear scenarios in front of you. Either, I mean, this is going to be 100% encompasses the whole truth. It's going to be kind of a dumb moment in your face, but that's okay. It's either the shoulder injury is actually a legitimate thing, right? And there is lingering issues from it. And I would say that is a massive reason to be concerned. But there's also the possibility, and I'm sure this is a conversation happening with the Browns. At least I would hope it is. If not, it's an observation. If Mary Kay is making it, I hope the Browns and Todd Monken is making it. But the other option is that Deshaun just, he hasn't thrown a football in a while, hasn't done it continuously for a while, and maybe the arm's a little bit tired. And at that point, it would be absolutely nothing. But I want to hear from you guys. Again, 216-474-0092. Let's go out to the phones. Kyle is in a car. What's going on, Kyle?
Yo, what's up, guys? First and foremost, let's just say LeBron, come home.
We'll take that.
But yeah, but I mean, dude, I mean, you're talking, you're giving Shadur so much love, saying like he should play, and like, don't get me wrong, I love Shadur, but what in the heck did we see out of Shadur that gives us reasons that we should feel confident in Shadur? I would rather see Deshaun Watson. Listen, we paid all this money, we waited all this time, and it would be so Cleveland Browns if he comes out and he balls out. Like, that's probably what's going to happen, and it's going to throw us into a whirlwind of what the hell do we do? I would say, dude, I can't believe I'm saying this. I'm rocking with number four, Shadur. I like you. Keep developing, but there's nothing that we've seen out of Shadur that should excite us. I mean, really, let's be honest. We were terrible. He was terrible.
I mean, listen.
So were the receivers.
I don't. And the receivers are bad. The offensive line was bad. And Kyle, I appreciate the call. And I don't use that as a pure get out of jail free card for any of this, obviously. But and listen, I'm not even saying you should be overly excited about Shadur. I mean, I liked some of what I saw out of Shadur last year. I disliked a lot of what I saw out of Shadur last year. We can be honest with it. Like, I think it was probably worse than a 50-50 split. And the intriguing parts are really intriguing. The bad parts are really bad. But I do think there's at least a level of interest beyond what you see from Deshaun. And I feel like I have been probably one of the most Deshaun positive hosts on this station. It's not saying much. Like, I'm army crawling over the bar here. But, I mean, I've said I'm interested to see what Deshaun has left. But there is a level of, if injury is still a concern, if you haven't fully recovered and you're not 100%. And listen, Deshaun told us himself, this is the healthiest that he's been since, I mean, what was that? The Tennessee game in 2023, I think, is the one that he broke down, like week three or four of that season. So he's basically trying to detail where he got injured in it. And it wasn't good. This is the healthiest he's been. That's also a very low bar to cross. That tells me he doesn't think he was healthy in 2024. That tells me he obviously wasn't healthy last year, but it doesn't exactly tell me that he's in great shape and 100% right now either. I think this conversation is less for me about Shadur, which obviously I've made my claim hundreds of times at this point. Why I would rather see Shadur over Deshaun this year, the organizational lineup with it, figure out if you have something at quarterback. But it's so much more on the front of, what has Deshaun given me other than a headache and a lot of money spent out of my team's pocket that gives me any indication that I want to see Deshaun play? And the only legitimate argument that was made there, and I don't know that I'd call it legitimate, is this would be the most Browns thing to happen. Not really. The most Browns thing to happen in my eyes would be the fact that the quarterback stinks again. Right, that feels like the Browns thing. When we talk about, oh, it'd be so Browns if this happened. Guys, that starts with number one, the quarterback not playing well. That is the most Browns thing that has ever happened across the last 26 years. It has just been consistently, oh, yeah, no, that position is bad. You haven't gotten out of that. The closest you've gotten out of that is Baker for a few years. But and I don't think this is, again, it's not the end-all, be-all. Deshaun shouldn't play because of it. I do think it's worth paying attention to, and it's worth being concerned over if you're the Browns. Again, assuming this is something that hasn't been dug into, the Browns aren't aware of, I'd be trying to get aware of it very quickly if I wasn't. All right, Kyle started off his call with LeBron come home. I want to talk about kind of what the expectations are if LeBron does come home, and not necessarily on the team, because I think for a lot of us, expectation is win a title. Without LeBron, expectation is go win a title. So obviously with LeBron being here, the team expectation is go win a title, but I mean LeBron individually, right? We talked a little bit yesterday about the expectations on Jared Verse and them being so high because you're replacing Myles Garrett. I would agree that those expectations from fans probably are a little bit too high in that conversation. I actually think the expectations on LeBron at age 42 are also probably too high in this city.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
At Great Wolf Lodge, there's adventure for the whole family. You and your pack can splash away in the indoor water park, where it's always 84 degrees. There's a massive wave pool, a lazy river, and tons of water slides for your pack to enjoy together. And the fun doesn't stop there. Get ready to explore and play at adventure-packed attractions from Magi Quest, a live-action game that takes place throughout the lodge to the Northern Lights Arcade. There's also a bunch of great dining options and complimentary daily events, like nightly dance parties, all under one roof. And the best part? With 22 lodges across the country, you're always only a short drive away from adventure. So bring your pack together at a lodge near you. Book your stay today at greatwolf.com and strengthen the pack.
Denim starts with Abercrombie, and the people who wear it make it iconic. Their high-rise wide-leg jean is such a closet staple, while their ultra-loose low-rise is the go-to for nights out. And who could forget the high-rise 90s relaxed? It's the jean for every day. Complete the look with a bra-free top and you're set. Every pair comes in both classic fit and the viral curve love fit, with additional room through the hip and thigh to eliminate waist gap. It's truly denim made iconic. Shop Abercrombie Denim and more in the app, online, and in stores.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Like, we do continuously talk about, it feels like in a lot of the calls here, like, LeBron is the thing that is going to lead us to a title. He needs to come home. He is the missing piece. And it's like, yeah, LeBron in his entire career has been the missing piece for every single team because he is, in my eyes, the best player to have ever walked the planet and play basketball. It's very simple. Like, he's going to be the missing piece everywhere. But this is 42-year-old LeBron James we're talking about. And that's not a knock. LeBron at age 42 is better than any other player at age 42 has ever been. It's pretty much better than any player at like age 37 and above has ever been. He's ridiculous. He is still a magnificent player, an incredible player. Also take into account last year, he wasn't what he was in years past. And certainly you continue to go down the line back and back and back. And LeBron has been on a tail off for the last 3 years or so. Yeah, I think that's probably the fair assessment, but you go through and look at what LeBron did last year while playing 60 games, so he still cleared that mark, but LeBron shot 31% from three, which is the lowest mark he's posted since 2015, 2016, where he also shot 31%. It's the second worst three-point shooting percentage in his career after he's developed that part of the game. His rebounding total has taken at least a full point dip. His assist total has taken about a full point dip from most of the spot where it's sort of led in his entire career. And obviously, defensively, he's just not what he was before. Like, I can bring the stats to you. LeBron obviously is still a guy going into age 42 who averaged 21 points a game. He was averaging 21, 6, and 7. Like, he was a ridiculously good player. The expectation should still be LeBron high. But I think the expectation in this city is going to be, unfortunately, 2016 LeBron high, 2018 LeBron high. And as we're 6 years removed from last, or excuse me, 8 years removed from the last time LeBron was here. Did I do the math right the first time? I think I did the math right the first time. 6 years removed from when LeBron was here. This is why we talk for a living. We don't do math for a living. But you're 6 years past it. I just don't know. No, I was right the first time. Let me do math. 8 years. 8 years pass. You just can't go down into this thing and expect LeBron to be the exact same guy that he was in 2018. Can't happen. And I don't think that we're even fully putting into scope what 8 years of LeBron has done. And it's like, yeah, well, he's not going to be what he was in 2018, but he's still really, really good. And it's like, yeah, he is, but I think what you think you're getting out of LeBron is still a massively different product from the reality of what you're getting. Like, if LeBron's last year is a retirement tour and they're trying to win a championship, it's going to be the worst retirement tour of all time. Well, that's not true. Chris Paul had a retirement tour that literally ended with him getting cut. But it's going to be a really bad retirement tour because he's not going to be playing half the nights that he's actually visiting one of the cities. Right, where it's like, it's my last time ever being in this building. Well, congratulations, Charlotte. You're not getting to see LeBron. You can watch him on the bench. Maybe he'll go back to the water bottle flipping days of having fun on the Cavs bench. But you're probably not going to see him play. Like, you are going to see a guy that takes, I think, a lot of games off, as has been evident for a majority of his career leading up to this point. He's actually played more in the last, like, 3 years than he has pretty much for the 3 or 4 years previous to it. But you're not going to see him on the floor every night. He is going to take breaks. And even on the breaks that he's taking, not even just the days off, he is going to be taking plays off. He is going to be taking possessions off. He is going to be taking offensive and defensive possessions off. And even when you get to the playoffs, like I think a lot of people probably watched the Lakers play in the playoffs this year, taking on the Rockets. I'm not going to make an argument to you that LeBron wasn't a fantastic player in that series. He's, I mean, wholeheartedly the reason why they won it. But he also, it's just not the same level of player that you should be expecting. Like, yes, LeBron averaged 23 in that series. It's 23, 7, and 8. He's still really good. But that was against the Houston Rockets. Like, there's going to be different moments where LeBron does not look like the guy that was here, the guy that won you a championship. It is going to be a very different look. And I do think in a lot of ways, the player that he is the missing piece. But I think that's what gets lost in it, is LeBron is the missing piece now. LeBron is not essentially the Messiah. He's still the king, but he's not the Messiah of the entire thing. You can't get him and put the expectations on LeBron that he is going to carry you to a championship. And I do feel like that is kind of the mentality that gets put down from this. It's not, oh, well, he's going to make Donovan so much better, and James Harden's going to be playing much more free, and you know, I imagine how well he's going to unlock Evan Mobley. It's going to be like, LeBron's here and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be cool. It's going to be nice to have him back, right? Assuming that decision would be made. But I do feel like expectations need to be hampered pretty significantly. And when we talk about that drop-off that has come in his play, I mean, you go back in the years previous, like he went from being a guy averaging 26 with Los Angeles to 24 with Los Angeles to 21 with Los Angeles. And it's not to say that he hasn't had years in his career where he wasn't averaging 30. Clearly, he's has had those years, and he's had years where it's been below. But like, it is just a pretty significant dip, I think, from what you're used to seeing in the most recent version of LeBron that you're used to seeing and seeing every single night and seeing on the floor. Like, that was, I mean, rewind the clock. Yeah, that was like a early 30s LeBron. That was a guy who's still in the prime of his career. Like, 2016 through 2018 LeBron specifically might have been the best overall player he had ever been in his career. I think I would make that claim. He was obviously at his most like athletic peak, where he was debatably most impressive. I can make the argument on Miami just because he was an athletic, he was an absolute animal. And he was still that for the most part with Cleveland, but you saw him develop the outside shot. You saw him really take over games. You saw the defensive prowess continue to climb and climb during those years. And obviously just the late game awareness and the clutch factor being there. But some of those things go away, some of them don't. It's such a difficult line to walk because I don't know how to tell people to temper the expectations when it comes to LeBron James. Like, I'm sitting here and telling you I think he's the best player that's ever walked the earth, and also telling you not to expect to get the best player that has ever walked the earth. It doesn't feel like a legitimate conversation, but it does feel like those expectations are going to be set sky high. Michael, am I making sense? Do you agree with me on this?
Yeah, I do. And I think a lot of people, like, especially on these airwaves, have kind of said the same thing. Like, we do have to be careful that we don't like overdo it. He is still a great player. Like, he can still help, but you're not getting 2018 LeBron. Like, that's not who's walking in that door. So I do think it's
you do have to temper them, but I also think we can't stop people from getting excited.
Right? No. Right, that's what I'm saying. It's a difficult line to walk. Like, you should be excited. It is LeBron James. I do think he makes Evan Mobley better. I do think he makes Donovan Mitchell better. I think he makes James Harden James Harden. I don't know that he makes James Harden better.
Yeah, I don't think he can change James Harden.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think James Harden's going to either have the ball in his hands or he's not going to have the ball in his hands, and LeBron is not doing anything to impact that. He might improve James Harden's, like, wide-open three from the corner percentage for his career, and that's about how he's going to make him better. But he does make everybody else around him still incredible. He is going to be a facilitator. He's going to be incredibly high IQ. And when you get him in the playoffs, you're going to get high effort, high intensity basketball. Just everything leading up to that. And still, when you get high effort, high intensity basketball out of LeBron at 42, it's not what you were getting out of LeBron at 32. It is a much different game. 216-474-0092. Will expectations be too high for LeBron in a return to Cleveland? I think people are going to have that. And you should be excited, but you shouldn't have that high of expectations. But we have one interesting thing to get to that was said by one person who covers the NBA that I don't know that I get. We're going to get to that coming up later on in the show, because coming up here in 5 minutes, we're going to get to Get a Grip, as we always do at 9 o'clock right here on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan.
Denim starts with Abercrombie, and the people who wear it make it iconic. Their high-rise wide-leg jean is such a closet staple, while their ultra-loose low-rise is the go-to for nights out. And who could forget the high-rise 90s relaxed? It's the jean for every day. Complete the look with a bra-free top and you're set. Every pair comes in both classic fit and the viral curve love fit, with additional room through the hip and thigh to eliminate waist gap. It's truly denim made iconic. Shop Abercrombie Denim and more in the app, online, and in stores.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try Maintain X for free today. Go to maintainx.com/AI. That's maintain in the letter x.com/AI.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.